This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Brian Barrett.
Hey, good morning and welcome in to the Action Line here from News Radio, WGNS. And we have a cast of characters in studio to talk with you this morning. Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen, Captain Clayton Williams, both in studio today. And we were talking a little football this morning. No truth to the rumor, Chief, that you're going to go assist Jim Harbaugh on the Titans.
Oh, you would not want that to happen. It'd be a disaster.
Well, the Titans disaster, that seems to go hand in hand.
Yeah. I'm a good spectator, but as far as the detailed knowledge to even take part in something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's just speculation, of course.
But, I've been called.
How have you?
No.
You know, I woke up to the news of that this morning, and I was pretty shocked that Baltimore let him go. He was there 18 years.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but, you know, a guy like that will land somewhere pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think that makes 8 openings.
Yeah.
In the National Football League. Clayton, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm all right. A little foggy on the trip in.
Yeah. I see you're... I didn't get to catch. I'm sorry. I did not get in the car early enough to catch the show.
Not
morning.
Early enough.
I apologize. Mm. I caught more of it yesterday, though. So
okay.
I enjoyed the wallet discussion. I've been through that, different phases of that.
Yeah. I don't know why my son uses a clip, but you know, he's gone through 3 cards in like 2 years. It just breaks him. Yeah. I don't know, but he's hard headed.
That's the thing I think about the dynamic of the show. I feel like. Your son plays the perfect antagonist in the crew. I feel like you and John kind of, you know, just, hey, man, we're the good guys. And then he just kind of throws that spice and salt in there every now and then. And you do well. You handle it well, I'll say.
It's it's curry. It's that's not salt.
Oh.
Yeah. It's spicy.
It's got an odor to it. Then,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
One of the things that I did realize today, that on January 7th, 1927, the Harlem Globetrotters played their first game. So, a little interesting history note.
Fun fact.
You seen the Globetrotters, either of you, before?
I don't. I think just mainly television, yeah.
I want to say maybe when I was in middle school, there may have been like, it wasn't like a full deal, but maybe a couple, there's like a little exhibition day kind of thing, but it wasn't the full-scale live game or anything like that.
Well, so. It tells you how long ago I saw him. I saw him at the Municipal Auditorium in Nashville. So,
wow, almost 100 years ago.
It was about that time.
No. The start of the year.
Oh, yeah.
your little fun fact.
Oh, I was at one of the first games. Yeah. But, yeah, it'll be 100 years next year.
That is, wow.
And it's still going, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Maybe.
And they still play the same, what is it, the Generals, I think? Is it?
I didn't even know the opposing team, the other people in that. It's kind of, well,
of course we don't. Yeah.
Fun facts for 2026. All right.
Yeah. Wow.
Good stuff.
Are you used to writing 2026 on all that paperwork you have to do?
The 5th, I really messed up a lot of paperwork because I was doing 1/5/25.
I can keep up with the day it is. It's like, what is today? That's 07.
It doesn't feel like it, but coming off of the 2 weeks of the holidays and shifts and all that kind of thing. But, I mean, your guys have been out there, Chief Bowen. Murfreesboro police officers. There's no really Christmas break, I guess, huh?
No. They're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year. And a lot of good stuff happened last year, and we hope that we're able to get some other things accomplished this year. We were talking yesterday at the staff meeting, kind of the big picture on some of the things that we're looking at, and just kind of take it day by day. And I know these years just seem to go by faster and faster, and we talked about the building the other day. What is it? 8 years this year,
yeah.
That we've been moved from.
Has it really been that long?
Yeah, it's been that long.
Well, I know I look over at the old PD and
yeah,
just you know, and part of the reason for that move so many years ago. If you moved in 8 years ago, the conversation probably started 15 years ago, right? Or maybe less than that, but it took a year or two to get going. Was it 12?
2012, 2013-ish.
Sounds right.
It's probably when the conversation started, so it's probably, 13. Let's see, 2012, 2013,
And it's still here. It's going to come down at some point whenever the things start here.
No, it would have been before that, because now I'm thinking, actually around 2005, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there, we actually had plans to draw a to build a precinct in next to where the Blackman High School is now, where fire station is located now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We actually in that time period had plans drawn out, and we were going to move forward with a precinct at that location. And then the economy tanked. Remember the big
2008.
And then everything was kind of put on hold. Then during that time period, MMC, the old medical clinic, became available, and we were approached about, hey, is that a location we'd be interested in? And we said, definitely. So we kind of switched focus from the precinct to building a new headquarters. So we did that. And, of course, now we have to revisit that whole conversation about, hey, do we want a precinct? Where are we going to put it? And what's it look like?
So, yeah, I was going to say, you know, probably at the time and for what needed to happen, I mean, if that were a precinct, you would have outgrown that many years ago, even before moving into your current location, I would think. Just a precinct.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to remember, when we were at the headquarters here on Church Street next to where we're at right now, we were in, I can't remember how many different buildings we were renting, office space on Roosevelt Boulevard, and we had just different locations. We were operating at an annex down here at Church and Broad, so we were kind of spread out. And by building that new location where we're at now, enabled us to move everything, with the exception of one operation, move everything back under one roof. Now, when we built the Highland facility, the thought process was, when it was designed, structured, that it would have a 2030 build out. Basically, we would be at capacity by the year 2030, and then we'd have to start looking at doing precincts across the city. So it's kind of we're growing into it a little bit faster than what we probably projected, but you know estimates were pretty close. And I think that I think we've already converted one or two closets to office space, so we're at that point right now. But it's good stuff. It's been great for us. It's been great for the organization, and it's definitely we're blessed to have that facility to work out of.
Yeah. So just for folks who are trying to think, where was, at least once a month, someone pulls up into our parking lot, still to this day. And sometimes I'll catch them, or they'll ring our door saying, what's going on here? Thinking that it's the police department. And I gave the suggestion it's been several years ago now, because it did say Murfreesboro Police Department on the front. Yeah. And they took the police department part down. They left City of Murfreesboro or whatever on it, I think.
Right.
But, it's on Highland, but I think all the maps and all have caught up with it. It's not as frequent as it used to be, but used to have the whole block outside of our building here. I mean, we were kind of surrounded, and the old fire, of course, moved out this past year, and the whole corner. So a lot of changes that have taken place here in downtown. But if the new facility, I call it new, where you're located now on Highland, if that was 2030, 2028, 29, I mean, so you're in that area where you've got to look at, you know, maybe a precinct somewhere.
Yeah, and this is just total speculation on my part.
Sure.
So don't take it as the final decision. But, I mean, if you'd start a discussion planning, you'd be looking at FY30, FY31 before you even really started. I mean, at the earliest, before you'd actually start building a structure or even doing anything with it. So it's still, don't even have a plan for it.
Right.
So it's still in the discussion stages. I know that we've put money in some of our projections to kind of start that planning and start discussing that design. But, you know, that still has to be approved and still has to be brought before the council, things like that. So it's still a long way to go.
Is the Blackman area, I know it was in what, 2008, 9, is that still an area that would be a target for something like that?
You think? Absolutely, absolutely.
Blackman is just crazy.
Yeah.
Mayor McFarland said on this show one day, I heard him and he and Bart were talking, so it's been a minute, but he said if you take the population of Blackman, it would be a top 10 city in the state of Tennessee on its own if it were a city.
Wow. Yeah, and you got to look at the square mileage. You just have to look at everything, and I look back in retrospect, and some may disagree with me, but I'm kind of glad we didn't build that initial precinct at that location, because I think it would have been a mistake. I think that it definitely has to be further out. One of the things that we can discuss is, you know, if the city has some property out there near that park area, I know that that's something we've discussed. Like I said, all that has to be further vetted and put out there. But I think the further out you can get on that west side to keep that side of the interstate from having to come through town, come mm-hmm. through the city to do business at the police department, I think the further you can put it to where they can go outward, you'd have access to a couple major thoroughfares to where if we needed to respond and move our resources quickly, we'd have those major roadways to be able to get on and do that. It just makes a lot of sense to go way out there. And every time I drive out there, I just look at these, at the coverage. And then when you look at traffic conditions, officer that's having to come in for whatever reason to the headquarters from that side of town can burn up an hour or more just, you know, if they have to bring evidence in or something like that, or talk to somebody at the PD, they can burn up a lot of time just going from that furthest part on that west side of town to the PD and getting mm-hmm. back out there, especially in heavily trafficked times. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we always talk about that I-24 being that natural barrier, being on the other side of that interstate would be pretty beneficial for us.
Well, I mean, I would think that Blackman would be kind of like Nashville's Hermitage, if you know, or one of those communities, because we're seeing hospital pop up out there, you know, medical facilities. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing the city grow into its own kind of ecosystem, if you will. And so you'd think fire and police and all that would be part of that, and it is, but just located there.
Yeah, so that south side and the north side could operate independently if they had to of each other. So it's pretty amazing stuff.
That east side is growing up too in Las Casas and that neck of the woods. I mean, MMC and the hospital are building out there, and so that's probably one of our next big growth. Well, it's already a growth area. The whole county's a growth area. Yeah.
I got a few requests for that part of town, but
I do too. Nobody's listening to me. A traffic light at Thompson Lane and Leanna Road. But anyway.
Oh, I was thinking about a steakhouse.
Oh, a steakhouse. Yeah, well, that'd be good too.
And that whole, like on y'all's end on the north side, that when the Cherry Lane project, I mean, there's no telling what. That could be the next
widening 231 north. It's amazing. And I live out on that end, and I just remember I've been in the same place since 93, and I just remember my wife going out there and us looking at a place, and she's like, oh, it's just so far in the country, do we want to live this far out? And now look.
Well, interesting, I remember having a conversation with Donnie Ayers at Jennings and Ayers, and you know, they built their place out there at 1880 or something, Jennings and Ayers. And he said that there were records where that they know that the conversations that were had were that your business is going to go under. It's too far out of town.
Yeah.
Jennings and Ayers, just, you know. But in 1800, 1880, you know, everything was in the very downtown area. So it's amazing how far we've come. I always thought when I was a kid, we lived on Swamp Leanna Road, if you know where that is. And I always thought, man, it takes forever to get to town. We're never going to get there, you know, and now it's right there. And a high school right around the corner. And so growth, of course, is one of those things that I guess, Chief, you have to contend with. And with that, and more officers, more patrols, there are more accidents, more things that happen. But 2025, if you look back over 2025, how would you recap that here in a few sentences, I guess?
Oh, wow.
Painted the broad brush for you.
Yeah. You can go anywhere with that question. I think a lot of progress has been made in a lot of areas. I think that we've been able to do a lot of things technology-wise that we probably would have never predicted 10 years ago. Well, I know we wouldn't have predicted it 10 years to make us more efficient in how we do our job. So there's a lot of good results that we see from that. I know we were talking in our staff meeting the other day. It's time to do our year-end report. So what we'll do is get those snapshots, those charts and graphs and whatever you want to put together and put those in our annual report. But I think this year we'll probably be looking at again at another decrease across the board, with the exception of maybe one or two categories. We'll probably be looking at a decrease in most crime categories. And you got to remember, last year we had a pretty significant decrease as well. So the areas that did increase are still below, I think, 2023 levels, with the exception of arson. And that's kind of an odd one, I think. We had a 200% increase in that, but it's only 9 incidents, which is 9 incidents too many. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
We don't want that happening at all. But for some reason, we went from 4 to 9. But that's one of the categories we saw an increase. But I think when we put the final report together, once we make sure those numbers are accurate and correct, I think that we'll probably see another decrease in just about all the categories, with the exception of maybe one or two.
So you're saying from 2023 those numbers drop, 24 20, so what do you think, what can you attest to, with, you don't have to get into specifics necessarily, but what do you think is leading to a decrease year over year in most?
So we always go by, we always have to look at one of the things I talked to Ryan, who oversees our analyst unit, is you got to be careful not to follow the short-term numbers.
Sure.
You got to look at the long-term trends. And I'm always careful with numbers, because a lot of it is just, individuals are just, for whatever reason, aren't committing crimes. A lot of it can be due to investigative efforts. It can just be something that's more of a national trend or more of a state trend. So you really have to evaluate those numbers and be careful how you use them. But I think our plan is, we're trying to get to where we put that 5-year snapshot on our website and just kind of evaluate it over a period of time, because, you know, these numbers this year can flip the other way overnight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you look at the number of incidents. So, and then once you kind of get that 5-year trend or longer, then you can kind of start evaluating the whys and the things like that. Yeah. So,
and I would think until we get this even further in the past, that 2020 time frame is going to just kind of skew numbers when you're looking at a 5 or a 10 year trend.
It's interesting, because we were looking at some enforcement numbers going back to 2020, and I was kind of shocked, because everything was kind of shut down. Well, everything was shut down,
right?
But when we look back at some of our numbers, you know, we still had quite a bit of activity as far as just general enforcement activities that I would have never guessed until I went back and kind of looked at some things. I know another thing that they're looking at numbers now is the accidents. What I'd like to see is kind of a snapshot where we are on motor vehicle accidents. I think statewide there's been a decline. Clayton, you can chime in. And then I think that we're going to follow that same trend and just trying to get a few years of information up on the website so that people can see how those accidents are trending. I know our enforcement efforts are way up. And that's always a challenge, because you've got the individuals who are saying, oh, man, they're out there just quotas and revenue, things like that, which isn't the case at all. And then you have the whole other group of individuals are like, man, there needs to be more accountability for driving in Murfreesboro. And we get a lot of complaints, and we get a lot of people concerned about traffic some of the things going on as far as red light running, speeding, things like that. So those are things that we have to address. We can't ignore it, and we're going to put resources out there to deal with it. And like I said, the main goal of that is nothing to do with it's just totally to respond to concerns of the city citizens. It's to hopefully make these roads safer, and hopefully we'll see some results of those efforts.
Traffic, the most I guess significant complaint, or the significant number of complaints, maybe. Well, or
I mean, homeless and traffic.
I was going to say
homeless and traffic.
Yeah.
Okay,
homeless and traffic. It's the issues associated with some of the individuals in the homeless community and traffic. We get a lot, lot on that.
And if you think about it, it's two of the most visible things that anybody in the general public can observe readily. You know, and so when it's at the forefront like that, it does, you know, it's on more people's mind. It's on more people of concern as the city grows. But you were talking, I want to go back to a little bit. I think the biggest thing is, you know, just like Chief mentioned, you know, we're sensitive to that too, because those are issues that cause other issues for law enforcement as well and us. But, you know, and we try different things. It's just like, you know, this up to about 3-4 months ago, you know, there was a concerted effort, you know, not only with us but city leadership on the homeless issue, and you know, just kind of put our heads together, came up with a plan, you know, and how we could best fit in that as a resource. And you know, I think we've seen some gains there, and took some proactive approaches to make some impact. And same way with traffic, it's unfortunate that growth, tell me if you think this is, the complaints have stayed steady, however we're seeing crash numbers go down, which is interesting. That's never happened. I mean, trending typically has always kind of stayed the same or right at it or gone up, but it's kind of turned down. So that's okay. And we want to do better than that.
And as we add more volume too,
that's the other thing of it. And it's really, when we look at like a snapshot of a day, it's amazing how you can look at not only accidents, but you just look at calls for service. It's no different than like rush hour. There is a defined period of time where that peak time is happening through a certain area of the day, and then it just kind of drops off, and that's when people are moving around, you know. So I say all that to say, yeah, we've got a team of folks that are ready to deal with that, you know, and we try to direct them in ways that whatever the need is at the time, and try to be proactive about it as well. And I know they feature that. Larry puts a lot of that out, partnering with the Traffic Safety Task Force, you know, and other entities, because we're not the only ones that feel it. It's just like you mentioned, that wreck on 20, you know, you may start in Murfreesboro, you may have to drive through Smyrna, Laverne, but it's all your drive, and it's all connected, you know. So I think law enforcement as a whole understanding, we want to do our best to help where we can on that.
Maybe you have a question. I see a few that have been texted in, and we'll get to yours here in just a second, Rusty, and others who have texted in this morning. If you would like to get in on this, though, I look up and we've got like 17 minutes left, so better hurry. 615-893-1450, that's the number to text this morning for get your question answered by Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen, Captain Clayton Williams here on the Action Line, back in just a moment here.
Life changes, then it changes again. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. A job loss, change in health, or loss of a loved one can have a big impact on your family's financial security. Let's work together to help make sure that you're equipped for life's unexpected events. Stop by our office in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard, or give us a call at 615-907-7056 for an appointment. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you.
Don't be trashy, recycle classy, recycle right, Tennessee.
Recycling isn't just about tossing materials in a bin. It's about knowing which materials are accepted. Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, Tennessee.
Friends? Yes. The financial partners whom you've built a relationship with at Old National Bank are still at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard location, right here in the borough. and so are the warm homemade cookies.
Cookies are ready, dear.
Like Grandma used to make. If you need online and mobile banking, Murfreesboro's Old National Bank does that too. You and Old National Bank, better together.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard. Old National Bank, member FDIC.
At Holden Hardware, we carry one of the area's best selection of sleds. We carry the round disc to the 48 and 66 inch plastic toboggans. We also have a few different ones in between. We may even have the old fashioned wood and metal sleds. When you are wanting to buy a sled, don't drive all over town. Come by and see us at Holden Hardware on the square. If you see the sleds in the window, we have them waiting for you. But don't wait too long. Get your sled at Holden Hardware on the square.
35 years. That's how long your family has trusted my family to care for your pets. Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City. Get your pets. New year off to a great start with some fresh accessories and some new toys. Even though it's wintertime, our baby bird nursery has a lot of wonderful occupants. If a new feathered friend is in your future, come in and see us at Animal City. Stop by and get the best quality pet gear in town. Come see us at Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Local farmers, local meats, vegetables, and other produce at the Winter Spring Rutherford County Farmers Market.
Bundle up and make your way every Friday at Lane Agri Park.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you. That's RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, it's all on you. Don't be trashy, recycle classy, recycle right, Tennessee.
Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, Tennessee.
Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, MTE has provided light, comfort, and connection to our community since 1936. As your trusted energy advisor, MTE is always here to help. Connect online or download the My MTE app.
Good morning, Tina. I was behind a stalled truck just a couple of minutes ago on 40 West here near 2nd and 4th Avenue. As traffic builds in that area right there on 24 at the Sullivan Evans Bridge, it's been a mess out here on 840 this morning eastbound at Elevon Road as they finish up that truck crash. Again, it's going to be out here for a little bit longer, slowing down that traffic between Williamson County and Rutherford County on 840 this morning. They crashed in the eastbound lanes, but it's been slow in both directions. Stein Dental Care in Nashville with over 350 five-star wonderful Google reviews. Call Stein Dental Care in Nashville today. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
May your new year be filled with blessings and good health. I'm Terry Deal, Executive Director at Adams Place, where our families join in sending heartfelt wishes of happiness and wellness for the year ahead. Discover Adams Place. Our beautiful community offers water aerobics in the indoor heated pool, a welcoming library, fun activities, and so much more. Start your new year with joy at Adams Place, 1927 Memorial Boulevard, right across from Walmart.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
Yeah, we got them.
MTSU Sports on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We're going to have another nice day today once this fog burns off, and it's going to get really warm before Friday, and then Thursday night, Friday, all during the day Friday, we're going to get rain even on Saturday now. And got the radar pulled up here, and this is kind of showing... the amount of precipitation showing this radar estimate is about 3.5 inches of rain in just about a 24 or 36 hour period on Friday. So something we'll watch and keep you updated on that. We're in a level 1 out of 5 risk for severe weather on Friday too, but looks like maybe more of a rain event, which always makes it interesting on the roads too, right, Chief?
Yeah, I guess we're skipping winter this year.
It appears, feels like it. although I saw you in the Murfreesboro Christmas Parade. Weren't you in one of those little...
No.
All warmed up. You didn't make that?
No.
I thought I saw... Well, I guess it wasn't you. Someone else with your haircut.
All right.
I did see others that were out there.
We've got the same stylist.
I know we do. All three of us go to the same barber, I think.
No. We did have some officers in there that may have been.
Had a great presence
out
there.
No, so that was a cold day, though.
That was the coldest parade I ever remember.
But, really?
Yeah. We've been doing a lot. I don't remember it being any colder than that day.
Yeah.
So a couple of questions. I think we answered Rusty's question off the air, but it was asking about a building, the old city school maintenance shop, and that is a question for the city manager. That's out on New Salem. No real answer as to what will happen with that. I don't think you really have any need for something like that, right?
Yeah, I've heard discussions, but man, I really did. It didn't affect me, so I really didn't put a.
So it's not going to be a PD place.
No, I didn't retain any of that. Yeah.
Another one of the questions was kind of talking about the tools that you have available, and there has been a story. And this is kind of paraphrasing. I'm not going to get all of the information, but one of the newest tools that you have is the crime detection camera system.
Right.
And I think some areas here in Middle Tennessee are taking that even a step further and using drones in a way as those drones can be dispatched and get there before maybe even your officers arrive and kind of give you a bird's eye view of maybe what's happening. That's something that other Middle Tennessee areas are doing. Is this something the city maybe is looking at or down the road, or I'm sure you're watching those trends.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think they're called drone as first responder programs. And we currently use drones. We have smaller drones that we can, if we have like a barricade, something like that, we can actually send them into a house and search a house. So we've got the larger drones where we can search for missing individuals, where we can map out accident scenes, things like that. So we are using drone technology. I think that we're always eager to use technology and to kind of be on that cutting edge, but at the same time we're always kind of cautious in our approach to kind of see what the legislation is going to bring, you know, where the rules for running a program like that, and just kind of get some more information before we approach something like that. I know that I have some individuals who are pretty drone savvy at the PD who are starting to talk that way, but do we have anything that's hard on paper or anything like that, that we're looking at doing it immediately? No. I can tell you this, it's our budget time of the year. So starting next week, all the division commanders will do their budget presentations to me and the other two chiefs, and we'll kind of look at some things. So there may be some things that get brought up during those budget meetings and those discussions that may indicate a desire to move forward with a program like that. But right now, we don't have anything that's other than just back parking lot discussions, for lack of better terms, as far as moving forward with that.
Yeah. There are like three texts here, and to get into, you know, this pothole or that one or this traffic signal and that kind of thing, those are all over town. What would you tell somebody who has these specific issues? I mean, is there a place to call for these pothole issues or things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can call the street department if you recognize issues like that, and they'll be responsive. I'll say this. If there's a pothole where you got four cars pulled to the side of the road because they've blown out tires, call us immediately.
Okay.
So we can get resources on their way. And as far as... as extreme as that may seem, there have been incidents, I know, on the interstate, and some of the major roadways where you might have a pothole that's like seriously a serious hazard, and you can go ahead and call us on that, and we can put an officer on it and get some resources out there to hopefully get it at least marked or taken care of. But for just general inconvenience type potholes where, hey, somebody needs to come look at this, definitely the street department is somebody you can reach out to.
I think they've also just initiated they've got an online reporting system now.
Yeah.
I think on their side on the website that you can do that.
All right. Best place for that. I don't know that. Well, we don't have the time just to go through one after the other after the other, because
but
it's not like that there are a ton out there. I think they do a great job of keeping up on that.
Yeah, and when it comes to signage, signals, anything like that, if you notice somebody stole a stop sign or some prankster did something or lied out, definitely call us on those, because we can get immediate responses on those, and those are definitely the potential for being a safety hazard, so we can get resources out there to correct those issues.
Okay. I want to go back to what you were as you were talking about the drone thing. It made me think about, there's so many, you may have the best idea, and drone as a first responder in 5 years, it may be the best thing since sliced bread.
Right.
But you have to think about so many things, and one of those is, as technology gets better and more uses for it, I don't know that we have legislation that keeps up with it. I mean, is that a big part of the issue, is keeping up with the technology and how fast it goes?
Yeah, that's challenging, because a lot of times, you know, you see the technology way in advance, and then the rules kind of get laid out after it gets introduced. A lot of it is to the individuals responsible for legislation don't have to know about the technology and the potential uses before they can lay out the groundwork for it. But, you know, we saw it with LPR technology as far as the retention periods. We saw it with a lot of different things. Saw it with red light cameras. People start using red light cameras, and you start seeing some follow-up legislation on that. So a lot of times you just have to kind of, you want to be out there doing things that make your agency better and more efficient, but at the same time, sometimes you just kind of let some things play out before you jump into it head first. Yeah.
One final thing. Last time, I know I put you through a round of interesting questions, and one, we found out that you were a Dr. Pepper person. Do you like the dirty Dr. Pepper? Or are you just any flavors, cherry, Dr. Pepper, any of that? Or are you just a plain 23 flavor Dr. Pepper guy?
So I got introduced to the Blackberry Dr. Pepper.
Oh.
Quite impressed.
I was too.
Quite impressed.
I choose the zero flavor, and I never could find the cherry. And the Blackberry was awesome.
Yeah. If it's good and cold, it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. I never liked the strawberry and cream flavor. Did you ever try that one?
I've tried them, and like I said, none really stuck with me.
Yeah, but that's the only one, huh?
Yeah. But I am trying to change some things, and I do have a nice. All right, Clayton. Go for it, Clayton.
He has a beautiful, beautiful, fancy filtered water pitcher on his desk.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm trying to go that route and drink a lot more water and see how that plays out.
This is my flavored water machine. Yeah. But it's water, but it does give you a little flavor. So
I
tried to do the same.
Yeah. So
you got to have a little caffeine in the morning. So
and that's the big thing. It's like I have a bottle here, and I'll get halfway through it and I'll throw it away. So it's just I'm not a coffee drinker. So I just
Once it gets lukewarm, I'm out.
Yeah.
On a drink like that. So all right. Well, good to have you both here this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
And you've encouraged me to maybe drink more water too.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm gonna do the same. Thanks for being here, Chief Michael Bowen, and also Captain Clayton Williams from Murfreesboro Police. We'll have the podcast up shortly if you missed part of the conversation. And until next time, take care out there.